My name is Al Morse, and we're here today to do a subject I think is tremendously important. We're going to be talking today about how we can take a non-believer through the Scriptures to show them in the Scripture what a person needs to do to be saved, what they need to do to be saved. And I think this is tremendously important that all believers have this ability to be able to open the Bibles, theirs or anybody else's Bible, and point them to references in the Bible, verses in the Bible that points them to salvation. That's tremendously important, and we're going to do that today. One of the things I'd like to talk about, and we talk about these, we're dealing with these people, you'd like to ask them a question. Why would God let you into their heaven, into His heaven? Why would He do this? And just sit back and listen, and you'll find that the average person has not a clue what salvation is and why God would not let people into heaven, or why He would let people into heaven. Let's turn in our Scriptures, and I want you to write these down. Write them all down and have them so that you can memorize them. You don't have to memorize the whole words of them, but you've got to memorize where these Scriptures are at that can lead people to Christ. And I like to start in Romans. So let's turn into your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and then just look at verses 10. Romans 3. Chapter 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, what this Bible is saying is that there is no person on this earth who has not sinned in their life. The average person doesn't even comprehend the fact that they were born sinners, and that's what we were born sinners. We were born with a sin nature. And ever since Adam sinned, we're born with a sin nature also. That little baby that's born is so cute and cuddly, but give it a chance, let it grow a little bit, and it'll sin so you can't even comprehend it. It's all it can think of is himself. When he gets a little older, he can lie like a rug, but he didn't get it from you. He didn't get it from you. He can say no to everything. He's a sinner. He's born that way. And because we're born that way, there's no one righteous on this earth. No one is without sin. We all need some help, divine help. Let's look at verses 3:23. Romans, write it down. Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person has sinned. You see, our salvation isn't based on how good we are. It's based on the fact that we're sinners and we need somebody to pay that debt, sin debt for us. That's what it's all about. But it says right here, for all have sinned, so we're all in trouble. Every one of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. Then it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and look what that says. Romans chapter 6, and look at verses 23. It says, the wages of sin is death. You see, there's no one can go to heaven because they have sin in their life. No one can do it because God can't have sin in heaven. So the wages of sin is death. We're all hell-bound people on our own. There's nothing we can do about it. We're hell-bound because we're sinners. We all fall short. Well, I don't sin that much. It didn't make a difference how much you sin. You've sinned. You can't get in your car and drive anywhere without sinning. You can break the law. Have you ever driven 1 mile an hour faster than the posted speed limit? Have you not always stopped perfectly at a stop sign? Have you always used your blinker exactly when you need to when you change lanes? Well, we all fall short. And do we ever have bad thoughts in our minds? Do we do things that we shouldn't do? Sure we do. We're born sinners, you see. So it says here, the wages of sin is death. And then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're getting somewhere. The wages of sin is death, but the gift Nothing of what we do ourselves, it's the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, how do we get this gift? What is this gift? Well, let's just turn to the Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and look at verses 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 16. And see what it has to say. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Did you understand what I was just read? Think about this. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Believeth what? The gospel. The gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is the key to this. What is the gospel? Well, but first realize that all they ask us to do is to believe it. To believe the gospel for our salvation. Think about that. All we have to do is believe the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. It didn't say believeth and be baptized. It didn't say believeth and join a church. It didn't say believeth and speaketh in tongues. It didn't say believeth and pay your tithe. It didn't say believeth and pray to Mary. It didn't believeth in praying to the saints. It just said believe the gospel. That's the power of God for salvation. Now, what is this gospel we got to believe? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Write these verses down. 1 Corinthians. This is the most important. Go to Romans and then 1 Corinthians to the right. Most important verse in the Bible. No doubt about it. It's the most important verse in the Bible. This explains the gospel that we must believe. Paul is writing to the Corinthian churches. He only writes to believers. He's writing to these churches who already believe the gospel. And listen to what it says. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, in which you stand." This is the gospel that we're talking about. And he preached unto them, and they received it, and they stand on it. And then look at verse 2. "By which also you are saved." The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. And it's for everyone that believeth. It says you're saved. But as if there. It says, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." In other words, this isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. You truly got to believe this gospel for your salvation. And then it says, verse 3, it says, "For I declared unto you first of all that which I also received." Where did he receive this gospel? Where did this gospel come from that he's going to tell you about? Keep your hand here in 1 Corinthians 15 and then turn to Galatians. Go through 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians to the right, and we get to Galatians. And look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. We'll see where Paul got this gospel for our salvation. It says, "For I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached by me is not after man, for neither I received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, Jesus was totally rejected by the Jews. Totally, enough that they actually killed him. And when he rose from the dead, after dying on that cross, he called out a whole new church. It's called the body of Christ. And he was the head of the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with Judaism whatsoever. This is totally separated from Judaism. And the salvation for this body of Christ, Jesus told him, was to believe the gospel. And we're going to see what it is. And this was given to Paul for salvation for the church today, for us. Everybody in this world, this is the only way that you can be saved. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 and let's start with verse 3 again. "I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, and that He was buried, and He rose from the dead, that's salvation. That's the gospel. This is the only thing that Paul preached. Every one of these churches that he wrote these letters to, the Romans, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, and every one of these churches, they were grounded in the gospel. That's all he preached was the gospel, because that's what Christ told him to do. You see, this salvation isn't based on believing in Jesus. It's based on believing what He did. He died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead. If this hadn't happened, we would still be in our sins, and there was no way we could ever go to heaven. He paid the sin debt for every person on this earth. Nobody's going to hell because of their sins. They're going to hell because they didn't believe the gospel. That's how important it is. And we put our trust totally for our salvation in that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And that's salvation. That's the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Romans chapter 1, verses 16. We just started with that. Now let's turn and see what happens when you believe the gospel. Let's turn to back towards Galatians. Right after Galatians, we were there just a minute ago. Right next to it is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verses 12. Write these verses down, every one of them. Write them down so that you can study them and go over and over and over until you have them in your mind, so that no matter where you go, no matter who you run into, if they have a Bible or you have a Bible, you can bring them right through these same words I'm talking to you today, because I'm giving you the verse-by-verse account of salvation. Now, this is what happens after you believe the gospel. It says, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. When they first believed the gospel, they first put His trust in His death, burial, and resurrection, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel, what? Of your salvation. After you heard that, in whom also after you believed, see, it said, after you believed this gospel of your salvation, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What is that? What is the sealing of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the third part of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit just moves into you and into your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and becomes a part of you. You see, that's the power of God that will come into you when you believe the gospel. And you can't get it any other way. You have to believe the gospel in order to have the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you're automatically put into this church, the body of Christ. Automatically, you are a member of the body of Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, back when the Jews were involved, God gave them the laws, gave them the Ten Commandments, but they couldn't keep them. They couldn't keep them. And then they gave them more commandments. In fact, when Christ walked on this earth, they had over 600 different laws and regulations and commandments. But that didn't do them any good. They rejected the Savior. They rejected Him totally. And they killed Him. So when He started the new church, He did away with laws. This church has no laws. What we have is more important. We have God living in us. And He's going to direct you in the way that you should go the rest of your life. He's never going to leave you when you believe the gospel. You believe the gospel. He lives with you. He points you away. I don't care if you're a druggie. I don't care if you're an alcoholic. I don't care if you're a child abuser. I don't care if you're hooked on pornography, if you're a liar, or you're a thief, whatever you are. When you believe the gospel for your salvation, when that Holy Spirit comes in you, He can draw you totally away from that. Draw you totally away from that. And you can walk with Him the rest of your life. He'll change your whole life. Totally change it. He will do it. You can't do it on your own, but He will do it. This is just fantastic what God has done for this, for the body of Christ. He's the one that we have to look to, and He's the one who's going to work for us and help us in our walk, and He's the one who paid our sin debt, and we are acknowledging that. You see, Christ died for our sins. He paid the sin for every person on this earth, and all we got to do is believe it. That's the gospel. You see what it didn't say? It didn't say believe in Jesus. It didn't say take Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say take Jesus in your heart. No, it said believe the gospel, which is Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead, and then you received the Holy Spirit. We could talk about this for a long time, but we're not doing that today. We're just, these have to be given to people. Let's turn back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. To your left, back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. And then just look at verses 8. Romans chapter 5. And let's look at verses 8. These are fantastic verses. It says, but God, Romans chapter 5, verses 8. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. You see, He died for us even though we are sinners. He died for us. He loved us so much, even though we're sinners, He died for us. He paid the sin debt for you and me. You see, I've had people say, well, when I can take care of some of my bad problems, I'll come to the Lord. It can't happen. You can't happen. You have to have the Lord in order to overcome those things. And He's the only one that can do it. He takes you just like you are. Just like you are, no matter what state you're in. I don't care what you are. He takes you exactly where you are. He died for your sins. And then verse 9, it says, much more, when being now justified by His blood on that cross, we're justified by what He did, we shall be saved from the wrath through His blood, through Him, through Jesus Christ. The wrath of God won't come upon us no more. We don't have to worry about hell. We don't have to be worried about what is going to happen when we die, because we know we're going to stand before God perfect, because He paid the sins for us. Beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. Look what verse 10 says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Because we are reconciled by the death of His Son, that Christ died on that cross for us, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive today. He's alive today, but He died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead. He'll never have to do this again. He just did it one time, and He paid for the sins for everybody. And He's our Savior. He's our Lord. There's no ifs and buts about that. And it's just beyond our imagination, and all He asks us to do is to believe the gospel. To believe the gospel. Now let's just look how important this gospel is. Let's turn back to Galatians. Go through Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And we go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. This is how important the gospel is. Verses 8. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, He said, let them be accursed. He didn't just say it once. He said, look at what 9 says. And as we said before, say so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed. I can testify I've had a life in church my whole life. I've been a life in church. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in churches all my life. I was involved in church all my life. I had church in my house for 18 years. I was involved in the church all my life, but yet I have yet today heard the gospel preached for my salvation. I have yet today. When I walked away from my church, I have not found a church that preaches the gospel. They have totally turned their back on God's word. And look what happens when they don't preach the gospel. Is your preacher preaching the gospel for your salvation, or are they telling you to believe in Jesus? That was salvation. Believing in Jesus was salvation for the Jew. But we're not Jews. We're not Jews. Now it's not salvation for anybody. The only salvation there is for anybody on this earth is the gospel, and that was Jesus is the one who presented it to us. He saw that in verse 11, that he got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how important it is. And let me show you how really important it is. Let's turn back to Romans. Turn back to Romans again and look at chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Here he is. It says, in the day when God, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, it'll be according to my gospel. When is that? That's at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. And you see, that's when all non-believers come to stand before God. They're already non-believers, and they're going to the lake of fire. And where they're going to be judged by? Did they believe Paul's gospel? Obviously they didn't, or they wouldn't be there. Now we're in Romans. Just turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 10, verses 9. And this is what we must do to have this gospel in our life. It says, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. What he's saying is, it's with the heart. I told you had to believe the gospel with your heart. It's a heart knowledge, not a head knowledge, your heart knowledge. And you need to confess that to God. You don't have to walk an aisle, shake a hand with the preacher, or anything. You just go any place you want to, sit down and talk to God, and you just tell him, Lord, I believe the gospel. Out loud, just like I'm talking to you, and say, God, I believe the gospel that Christ, and you name the gospel, that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when you do that, when you confess that to God, you will be saved in a second. And you'll receive that Holy Spirit right then. Not a month later, not a week later, not a day later, not an hour later. Exactly when you believe that gospel and you tell Jesus you do. You tell God that you believe the gospel, your life will change. Mine changed tremendously. See, I've been in the church all my life, and I've studied and studied. I wore out 2.5 Bibles trying to understand the Bible, and never could. I never could understand it. I tried and I tried to understand it, and I'd read it, and I had to read it over and over again, and I just couldn't. It just was hard for me. But the second that I believed the gospel, my mind was opened up, and I started studying the Bible, reading the Bible, and 14 hours later, I was still doing it, and I was understanding it. And let me show you why. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14, it says, but the natural man, see, that's what I was. I wasn't saved. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I was doing it all on my own until I believed the gospel. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's how the churches are today. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. Look at their churches today. A church today, I don't care, it may have 500 people on their roll, and they're lucky to get 100 to come. They're lucky to get 100. The so-called church today have just the highest divorce rate as the non-believers. The same. Where's the Holy Spirit? There's not there because they don't believe the gospel. But as soon as I believed the gospel, my whole life changed. My priorities changed. Everything in my life changed. I have only one desire in my heart, is to teach the gospel so people can be saved. Because there's millions of church believers out there that do not believe the gospel for their salvation. Do not believe it. Let's look over here. Let's turn, and this will be the last verse. Let's turn to Thessalonians. Go through Corinthians, Colossians, go Corinthians, and then go Galatians, Ephesians, and then we go through Philippians, and then we go to Colossians, and then we go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And listen to here. This is what's going to happen to the person who do not believe the gospel. We just saw it, that all the unbelievers are going to be judged by the gospel. And they're going, of course, none of them believed, and they're going to the lake of fire because they turned their back on the gospel. Look right here, it says in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean by obey? Well, Jesus told us to believe the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for our salvation, and we didn't do it. And many people don't do it. We didn't obey. He told us what the salvation for the church is. But no, they point to Jesus' earthly ministry. That's not the gospel. That's Judaism. For the church today, we have to believe what he did, not who he was. What he did is what saved us. Because if he hadn't died on that cross, we would be lost for eternity. It says, obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's why the gospel is important. That's why that we need to be able to explain it to people. Because if they don't, they're going to be totally separated from God for eternity. I want you to take these things, write these verses down that I had, and memorize where these are at, so that you can go through these and let God's Word do the work. All you got to do is read it to them, and God's Word will do the work. You just show them these things so they can get it directly from His Word, not just from your Word, but from God's Word, and it makes a tremendous difference. Tremendous difference. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to teach the gospel, and I pray that everybody here would learn these verses, that they could have them in their mind, so when they have an opportunity, they can show these to people, the non-believers, so that they can come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.